Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Everyone, and welcome to the Fightful Prediction Show with me, Stephanie Cheers, and my special guest today, Astrid. Astrid, how are you?
Doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I hope I sound okay. I'm in another location, a new location as always, because I can never stay put in one place. And I haven't had an actual home in about a year and a half now. So if I sound bad or anything, like, let me know, because I'm just setting up in a different area. But yeah, I'm very excited to talk to you about AEW Dynasty/Dynasty. What do you say, Dynasty or Dynasty?
I said a Dynasty.
I feel like they say Dynasty, but I just think of Dynasty. So I say Dynasty, but I don't know if there's like a correct, like if we've all decided on an actual way to do it. I feel like it's not that long ago since we last had an AEW show. So like they're coming thick and fast, but I guess it's because we have WrestleMania like at a much later date this year, so they didn't have the time. But I went to Dynasty last year. I'm sadly not going this year, but I am looking forward to talking about the show. And how are you feeling about it, Ashley? Just an overview.
I feel like I've been torn about some of them. I'll discuss it more as we go through the matches. It shouldn't be happening right now. It should be later on. So it feels odd to have it around this date. That's the only thing that feels very like awkward for me in that aspect of it, especially with like the mania around it. But yeah, it's like I'm excited, I would say, for most of the matches though.
Yeah, I think that's how I feel too. I think I'm excited for most of the matches, but I think I'd be more excited if they'd had a little bit more time in between the last show. But I guess like I get why they've had to move it and everything with like the odd date of Mania this year. So we'll see, but we're going to get into it. I also want to hear your predictions, so drop that in the chat. So before we start, let's hear from our sponsor, Bet Online, and our overlord, Sean Ross Sapp.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about betonline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best, from cutting edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of, all major sporting events are covered by betonline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. betonline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. betonline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
BetOnline.ag. And we have some lovely faces in the chat that I recognize. Fernando says, what's up, everyone? Hello. We have Maria that says, hello, Stephanie. Always happy to see and hear from you. I'm always happy to hear from you too, Maria. Our local establishment says, hello, everyone. Happy Friday to you all. Happy to see Astrid getting a chance to be on the show here today. Yeah, the last time we did one was quite a while ago, wasn't it? Like over a year ago. Mm-hmm. So it's very nice to have you back. Ashe Ash says, hola, everyone. Happy Friday. So yeah, and let us know who you're predicting for each of these matches. Let's start with Kyle Fletcher versus Mark Briscoe. Now, we are recording this before Collision. We've got 10 matches here. You know what Tony's like. He could add more, and I'm sure he'll add some pre-show stuff too. But we'll start with this one, and this is a Men's Owen Hart Cup Tournament quarterfinal match. And I think for me, I do like the Owen tournament, and I like them doing tournaments, but just because the card feels a little bit rushed given the time that we've had before the last one, I do feel like they've kind of padded it out with these Owen Hart Cup matches. So this one for me, Kyle Fletcher versus Mark Briscoe, I think it will be a good match. I'm going to go for Kyle as the winner just because I see that Mark is kind of pigeonholed in that position of someone that just takes a pin, especially in a tournament like this. How do you feel about this match?
Yeah, I feel very similar. Sorry about that one. And I also pick Kyle because I'm thinking, like, based on both of them, the way I see them, Kyle has a little bit more momentum going into this than Mark does. Yeah. And I feel like you will kind of kill that momentum if you have him lose in the tournament like this. And I feel like you said Mark is one of those people that can easily take that pin and he'll be fine with that. Versus with Kyle, I feel like you're in such a role with him right now. You have to keep that going. It's too quickly for it to die down in that way. So I definitely say Kyle's winning this.
Yeah, I think, Kyle's just coming off that awesome feud with Ospreay that culminated in such a great match at the last pay-per-view. It would be a bad sign, I think, to have him lose here, especially to Mark, who is great and we all love him, but he's not been booked as a very strong character. So I think that's a bit of an easy one. Kyle wins. Next, we're on the women's side of the Owen Hart Cup tournament. So this one, to me, feels like maybe the best example of why I think, they're just putting in these Owen Hart Cup matches that maybe will be good matches, but don't have that much investment in it, because it's Mercedes Moné versus Julia Hart. And I would just be completely shocked if Mercedes didn't win this. And I think that Julia, we've seen her in such a journey in AEW. She started so young, but I don't think she's anywhere near the level of a Mercedes yet. And this one, if I was booking it, it would be one that was very short with Mercedes just getting a dominant win. So I think that's another, like, quite obvious who's going to win there. Mercedes Moné, how about you?
Yeah, I definitely feel the same. I was thinking, unless something happens and Athena does come in here and cost Mercedes the match, which I don't really see happening because she's going to want to face her either way. So I definitely think it's more like, unfortunately, I see it the same way, just like this is a Mercedes match. As much as I would like Julia to advance in the tournament and get a little bit of momentum coming back after her injury, right now, like, Mercedes is such a role that it will be hard to have her lose, especially in the tournament like this so early on. So I definitely think Mercedes definitely winning this.
I feel like if they had started the tournament a little bit earlier, they may have had, like, better tournament matches on the pay-per-view, because, Athena could very well be her next opponent. And that's something we've all been waiting and waiting and waiting for, the day that Athena, is properly in AEW and not, like, in Ring of Honor and lost in Ring of Honor. And I think Mercedes versus Athena on a pay-per-view would have been pretty awesome. And I think that much more so than Julia Hart. I know Julia is really popular, and, like, not to knock her, but for me, it's just too much of a mismatch. I wish we were getting the Athena match here, because that's what I'm really interested in seeing. Over on the men's side, we've got Will Ospreay versus Kevin Knight. Kevin Knight, a new signing to AEW, and they just put him in here in the Owen tournament against Will Ospreay. What are your thoughts on this one? I'll let you start, as to Will Ospreay versus Kevin Knight.
Well, this one, to me, it's one of those that's a giving as well with Ospreay being there. But at the same time, if you haven't watched Kevin before, this is definitely going to be a great match. I came off with, like, watching him in TNA, and unfortunately he's not there anymore, obviously. But just when I saw this announcement, I went, this is going to be a great match to watch. So if it's your first time watching Kevin Knight, it's going to be a delight, especially with somebody like Ospreay who has so much experience. So either way, with knowing kind of, like, Will's going to win this, I feel like still I feel like, especially somebody like Will would showcase Kevin so well that it's going to be such a great match for people to watch, especially for those getting introduced to him to begin with. But definitely Ospreay winning this. So just, it's going to be one of those like highlight matches for the night.
I feel the same. Definitely Ospreay wins, but I think Ospreay will do whatever he can to showcase Kevin Knight and kind of make Kevin Knight in that loss. So I think it has the potential to be the match of the night. Definitely has that potential. It's just another one where the winner, like, we kind of know going in, but I don't think that takes away from the fact that this one really could be the match of the night, and I think they're going to do some really awesome stuff. But yeah, I see Ospreay winning as well. But I think now, as we move off the tournament matches, we can talk more about these other matches where there's a bit more going on storyline wise. So for the tag team championship, we have the Hurt Syndicate's Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin versus the Learning Tree, Big B, Bill and Brian Keith. This one, so the Hurt Syndicate, they've been involved with MJF, which I think is very intriguing. The Learning Tree, Big Bill and Brian Keith, I think we're just kind of waiting for them to leave the Learning Tree, and they definitely have some momentum. I think the Hurt Syndicate are going to win just because they're such as it's not the time to make them lose. I think something is going to happen with MJF. I'm going to credit Grapple when I say this, and I don't know if anyone else has said it, that I think maybe MJF will turn on the Hurt Syndicate and then form his dynasty stable with, like, is it Richard Hammerstone or Alex Hammerstone? And yeah, I think that
Richard Holiday could
very much happen. And then I think the Learning Tree, if they lose, then that's like an opportunity for, you know, Jericho to berate them more, I guess. And yeah, so I think the result has storyline developments for both sides, but I do see it being a definite for the Hurt Syndicate winning. How do you feel about this one?
Yeah, this is one of those, like, I was thinking along the same lines of MJF has to get involved here somehow. I just don't know how they would do it, but beat MJF, it could be in so many different ways. But I like what you said about the group being formed in there. I think that will be very interesting if it were to happen, and happening against the Hurt Syndicate. But again, alongside of the match, so like you said, I am leaning more towards the Hurt Syndicate just retaining the championships. I don't think there's a reason why they should lose them like this, especially to the Learning Tree, no offense to them. But yeah. I definitely feel like the Hurt Syndicate should be the ones to keeping the championships. I was thinking about, like, more the lines of maybe MJF after the match will show up and kind of show off with, like, his stable and show off his people, and then kind of do kind of like a standoffish, but not in the ring, because MJF is that heelish that will not really get involved. He would probably just show them off, and that's about it, just to kind of get people talking and get curious about them and who they are, for those that don't know who they are. But something like that I could see happening. But yeah, I just know MJF is going to be involved in here somehow.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's not got a match on the card, and it's just, like, it's too perfect for the name of the pay-per-view for him to do this. And I think that he could really benefit from having his own faction. He tried it before with the Pinnacle, but I liked the Pinnacle, but I don't think they gelled that well, that I don't think they were that believable as guys that were, like, riding together and friends and hanging out together. But since he has the history with Hammerstone and Holiday, I think, like, obviously it is believable. And I think that he can get that over very well. And I think it's going to be a good, like, new direction for him, and something to think, like, he's been really good recently. I've been really enjoying him and all that. And I think this would just add to it. And I really like the stuff that's going on, and it would give the Hurt Syndicate opponents that could kind of match them, because I think that AEW, it was definitely, like, for a couple of years, like, a really faction heavy promotion, and I think that's gone down a little bit. And I, you know, if you think about factions with, like, three members stuff, you've got, like, the Learning Tree, they're not going to match up to the Hurt Syndicate. I don't want MJF going anywhere near Adam Cole again. So I think him just bringing in his own people, I think it would seem really authentic. And I think that they would be really good, like someone that could actually challenge the Hearts Syndicate, because most matches we've seen with the Hearts Syndicate, they're like really outdoing their opponents, and it just always seems like inevitable that they'll win everything. But yeah, I think it should be, I think it should be a good match, but I think I was just trying to be nice there. I think it will be okay. The Hearts Syndicate are like good and dominant. I'm not really into Big Bill and Brian Keith, so I think it's one of those matches where I'm more looking for the ending than, you know, waiting to enjoy the match.
Yeah, well,
speaking of Adam Cole, he's up next with Daniel Garcia. Singles match for the AEW TNT Championship. This one has no time limit, and no outside interference is permitted. Daniel Garcia, you know, like people in the chat that have watched me for a while will know how I feel about Daniel Garcia. He's the TNT champion, but I feel like I barely see him on TV. Like, I really do. I don't really think that he's taken a massive step up from where he was before. I think he's really hurt by the fact that the other non-world championships are held by Kenny Omega and Okada. So that makes his title kind of feel lesser. And I'm not high on Adam Cole anymore. You know, he's much better not doing the MJF thing. But yeah, I think this match is going to be okay. I'm finding this one maybe the hardest to predict a winner, and maybe that's because I'm just not that invested in it. I'm going to go for Daniel Garcia just because I think his run's been lackluster and I'd maybe like give him more time or something, but I'm not 100%. Do you have any stronger feelings on this one?
I felt the same just because I was thinking I don't want Daniel to lose the championship yet. I feel like it should be more of a reason for us to see him more often, and we don't. Mm-hmm. And I want to see more from him in that aspect. But at the same time, having Adam on the other side versus like he has his friends that could come and help him as well, especially on this type of match and there's no time limit. But you never know what could happen. But yeah, but it says even with the outside interference, I feel like the way they are, they will still find a way to interfere somehow, because that's the thing you always see kind of happening, even when the stipulations are coming up like this. Or maybe somebody turning on Daniel Garcia, so you don't expect it in that sort of way. That could be another thing that happens. But still, it has me torn on it just because I was thinking, I don't think we had Adam win a singles championship in AEW just yet. So I was wondering, maybe this is the time we'll get that to happen. But at the same time, I don't want Daniel to lose it. So I've been really torn about it. But for the sake of picking somebody, I'll keep Daniel for the moment.
Yeah. And I hope that after this, he moves on to like some challenger that he can just do a really good storyline with, and just kind of get out of this, like, still, you know, daddy magic, all of that stuff that he's just always seemed like bogged down with for so long. I know that he is on Collision almost every week, but he's still like, I would like his presence more on Dynamite too. It just felt like when he re-signed and, you know, before that he did the stuff with MJF that you kind of had hope that there was something like big for him coming, and I've just not really seen that. But then again, it's AEW and it's so top heavy that it's just really hard to break through. I think it's pretty hard for someone like him, especially right now. All right, we have another title match, but this is not for an AEW title. It's for the Ring of Honor World Championship. Chris Jericho versus Bandido, and we have Jericho's title on the line and Bandido's mask on the line. I think this is an odd one because they do have a Ring of Honor pay-per-view coming up. So I was like, okay, why are they doing this? I Googled Bandido without his mask just to see if he was an attractive man, because I was wondering if Jericho just wanted to basically redo what he did with Hoovy back in WCW, and, you know, have this guy take off his mask and he, you know, be really good looking. And then obviously Jericho's character right now is that he's a total idiot, so he can berate him and say that he's not good looking, but we'll all know that he's really good looking. I didn't find a picture of Bandido without his mask, but from what I've seen, I'm confident that, you know, he might look okay under it. And just because, you know, that's like one of my first wrestling memories is Hoovy taking off the mask and me being like, wow, okay, yeah. So I'm wondering about that. And then, like, I heard another theory that Bandido wins, and then the next match they do at the Ring of Honor show will be title versus hair. And, like, maybe Jericho shaves his hair because it's, you know, maybe not looking the best right now. I don't know about that either. But I cannot bring myself to care about Ring of Honor, if I'm being honest. I really can't bring myself to care about Jericho. They did a big angle at the last pay-per-view on the pre-show with Bandido's mother, right? And I wasn't a big fan of that because I just thought it was, like, unearned. I think a lot of this stuff is. So who do I think is going to win? It is hard because it is his mask on the line. But I just feel because Jericho is so void of ideas that he might just do his own old bit, and we'll see Bandido, and, you know, he'll be really good looking or something. So I'm gonna go for Jericho. How about you? Do you have any better feelings on this?
Well, I kept thinking the same route, just thinking, if we ever had him on mask before, then maybe this is the reason he wants to get off the mask, and that's why this is happening to begin with. But being that this is such a cultural thing in Mexico, yeah, it's, I don't want to say 100%, but I would say, like, very doubtful that somebody will want to take off their mask after having it for so long. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, I'm also thinking, like, there's moments that Jericho rarely loses, especially nowadays. So at the same time, I'm like, which one am I going to pick for this? But now that you say to me, no, they have another pay-per-view coming up.
He's so prominent on the poster of that pay-per-view too. So it makes me think, yeah, like, I'm not sure that people would be annoyed if he wasn't on it, but it makes me feel like he's gone. But sorry, continue.
I've been really torn about it because I'm thinking, I don't think Bandido would take his mask off, but at the same time, Jericho really loses out as it is recently. But mm-hmm. like you said, now you made me think about it with the pay-per-view coming up, that maybe Bandido does win and they do have the rematch of the next pay-per-view because it's happening, I don't want to say kind of quickly, but like almost in a row there. So I'll say Bandido winning this one. I don't think I could see him without the mask off.
The rematch would have to, the other thing that gets me, the reason I said like the hair thing, because I mean, Fernando says, can't see Jericho cutting his hair. I think we've reached the point where he's desperate enough, and, you know, for something, like, I think we've reached that point. I think that the next match at this Ring of Honor show is going to have higher stakes, and it's kind of hard to get higher stakes than a mask because there is the massive cultural significance of the mask. But then again, this is an American show, and it wouldn't be the first time that American wrestling has made people lose their mask in, you know, a less than, like, shall we say, like, elegant setting, or a less, you know, important setting than the way that we see it in Mexico. So, you know, there's that. Our local establishment says Bandido is losing the mask, Jericho is going to lose, and then we'll get a full year of interviews where Jericho brags about how much he puts over new talents. Win or lose, we're getting that full year of interviews, you know, like, that will never stop. But the putting over new talent thing will never stop. I'm going to say Bandido wins, and then they have the rematch at the next the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, and they do it in like a cage or something bloody, but if they do it hair versus hair and Jericho shaves his head, like, remember I said that as an option, but yeah, okay, I'm going to say Bandido wins and gets to keep his mask. All right, moving on from that one. Oh, per Ring of Honor. We have the Death Riders, Claudio, Pac, and Wheeler Yuta versus Rated FTR, Cope, Cash Wheeler, and Dax Harwood. And this is for the Trios Championship. Astrid, what are your thoughts on this one? I'll let you go first.
This one, along with the other matches that I'll wait for that one to come up. This whole storyline with the Death Riders and Moxie has been lackluster for me. So yeah, at the same time, not that I wanted Rated FTR to win the Trios titles, but at the same time, I want somebody new at this point. And to see if it kind of stirs up the pot a little bit in that storyline and makes it a little bit more interesting. And that's the main reason why I'm going with Rated FTR, just because I want something new, like a whole new chapter in this story. Because this whole Death Riders thing with Moxie is just not what I thought it was going to be when it first got revealed, to be honest. It went from being the high from the reveal to like a downfall there. And at this point, I'm like, I'd rather not get involved and not see anything here. Thank you for coming.
I don't think it's what anyone thought it was going to be. No. Yeah. Remember when we all thought that it was like this massive like event that was like shaking the core of AEW, and now he's just, you know, wandering around like any cartoon heel. It's wild. But yeah, sorry, I cut you off.
No, I just think so. I'm definitely picking Rated FTR mainly because of that reason. I just want something new to make it a little bit more different in this story, because I'm definitely don't want anything with the Death Riders so far.
Yeah. I think the interesting part of this match is not the Death Riders. It's actually Rated FTR. I've been so down on Cope, so like I'm not gonna pretend that I like Cope. I have no love left for him. But it's nice to see him not challenging for the title. I think that, okay, so I can see in the chat that Fernando says FTR is turning heel on Cope. I think that will happen, but I think it will happen eventually. I think it might be more interesting that the three of them win the Trios Championship, and then their tensions within them happen, which actually, now that I think about it, is kind of what they did at the beginning of the Death Riders, because remember, wasn't Wheeler not part of the group yet and still had to defend the Trios titles? But, you know, they can redo things. But yeah, I think that we had an FTR win and Cash and Dax eventually turn on Cope, which will probably lead to his long-awaited reunion with Christian, which is, you know, for one last run with Christian and facing off with FTR. But even though the Death Riders, they have been so dominant, like to the detriment of everything. Ash says, more like the Dread Riders for me at the minute. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, well, we'll talk more about the Death Riders for the main event, but I think them dropping these titles at this time would be good. It would just make sense. Though at the same time, I think that now the heat with the Death Riders is just how, you know, annoying and like grating the whole thing is, rather than them actually being effective heels. But we'll get to more of that. So I'm going to say Rated FTR, but maybe I'm going out on a limb a little bit, because I think most people do think it's going to be the Death Riders retaining, just because it always seems like the Death Riders are retaining. After that, we have something that I think is going to be really good. Kenny Omega versus Ricochet versus Speedball Mike Bailey. It's a three-way match for the International Championship. How do you feel about this one? You look excited for this one.
I'm so torn about this one. I know Ricochet has been improving as a heel. He's been doing better compared to how everything started. But at the same time, and this is how I've seen it so far, when there's almost like that shiny new toy of a person in AEW, usually they get the championship. So, yes. And I'm thinking, you have Ricochet, but you also have Speedball there, who's also the new toy. But at the same time, having somebody like Kenny Omega on the other side of it makes me doubt myself. Like, I don't want Kenny to lose that championship so soon. But at the same time, I feel like it will be interesting having Ricochet as champion. But at the same, and I'm the kind of person that I also love Speedball, so I want Speedball to get a championship. I want him to get that spotlight. So I'm just very torn about it. But being more than anything that Kenny's here and he's like the main guy to me out of the three here, I would definitely stick with Kenny retaining. But either way, this is going to be great. And for those that haven't seen Speedball wrestle, just wait for it.
Yes, Speedball has been excellent since coming in. He's always excellent. I'm going for Kenny as well. And I'm more just thinking about the big all-in Texas show being not that far away. I think he's going to keep it till then. I think they're going to have him face Okada, unify those titles. Interesting that Okada is not on the card. So I just feel like that's coming down the line. So maybe we'll see him at some point. But I don't like three-way matches. And I think like the way they, you know, did this was kind of groan inducing for me. It just, I felt like just pick one winner, pick one, you know, opponent for Kenny. And I think that if I had to pick between the two of them, Ricochet is doing great character work right now, but Speedball and Kenny would be the match that I would have picked, to just the two of them for this pay-per-view. But I think Kenny's going to win. Ricochet and Speedball maybe could spin off into their own thing afterwards or something. I don't know. But yeah, I think it would be a bad decision on AEW's part to take the title off Kenny so soon with everything he's been through. And, you know, now he's come back, and hopefully he's coming back to really kind of be more in the forefront and, you know, push himself more. So yeah, I hope Kenny retains, and I think he will. All right, we have our women's championship match. Timeless Toni Storm versus Megan Bain. I think this one is interesting because Megan is a very new face in AEW, and they've kind of just brought her in like the biggest position you can, having her challenge Toni. I thought it was great the first time that we saw her interact with Toni, attack Toni. I think they've made her look really strong. She's not the most polished wrestler yet. I think they've hidden the weaknesses well. I don't think it's going to be a five-star match or anything like that, but I think Toni will work with her well. And I just find it interesting. It was an interesting direction for Toni. I think that there's no doubt that Toni is keeping the title. And I'm really hoping, though, that Megan Bain isn't just like this kind of one-off thing, because I think this happens so much in the women's division that they just end up in a vortex after they get these chances. So I hope in like a couple months' time, we're not sitting here going like, what happened to Megan Bain after she had that one title shot? But yeah, I think Toni definitely wins. And I hope it's good. I don't have that much faith that it will be a great match, but I just like a fresh woman being put in this position. I think I've got to credit them for that. So I'm looking forward to it, definitely. But I think Toni's winning. How do you feel about this one?
You said vortex. All I could think of was a Jericho vortex, and that wasn't even a great memory to be.
you know what? Any women being sucked into his vortex. Anyways.
This one's another one that I'm like, because my mindset was, like you said, I feel like Toni's one of those people, like kind of like the Will Ospreay and Kevin Knight match. I feel like Toni will bring out the best in Megan and would highlight her in such a way. But at the same time, somebody like Megan come in, being the powerhouse that she is, I wouldn't want her to lose this quickly after debuting. So this is the main reason why I was hesitant about her giving her a title shot that's early on as she started AEW. And that's the reason why. But I feel like at the same time, I kept thinking if she does win, I feel like that would be a huge shock coming into this with Toni, just because Toni kind of could be like underestimating her, and having that shocker of her winning that championship there. I feel like that would be a huge surprise. And just to see how it affects Toni in this way when she loses it against somebody that is in Mariah May as well. So it's like I kept thinking that could be an interesting story moving forward with it. But at the same time, I wouldn't want Toni to lose it. I feel like she's doing such great character work, and you don't want her to like lose that, what she has going on. And what would you have her do if she lose the title at the same time? So that's the main reason why I kept going like back and forth on this one. But for me, at least, I will stick with Toni Storm for the moment, just because I feel like she's doing great, and I don't want her to kind of lose that, like that kind of sequence that she has right now with as a character.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff in the chat here. So Maria thinks that Megan will dominate and beat Timeless. That would be such a shocker for someone to like, someone so new to like win the title. Fernando thinks that Toni retains and lose to Mercedes at All In. Interesting, because I've always thought that they might rematch Athena Mercedes at All In, because it's in Texas, you know, after the Owen, and maybe give Athena the title then. So Ash says, still sad that we won't see any more Toni and Mariah, as the latter of the two is presumably done with AEW. Do you think that? I know that they said her contract was coming up, but is the word on the street that Mariah's done with AEW?
I haven't seen her being done. I know there's people have been speculating because it is her contract year, but the way everything's going, I don't know if I see her leaving though.
No, neither do I. I think if she left, it would be like a hell of a play to like come into AEW, do like a totally high profile storyline, and then just go out the door. Like that's kind of like commendable. Whether you would do it for both companies, that's not saying anything about one company compared to the other, but like that's just a pretty cool thing to do. But I would presume that she would stay though, because they've treated her extremely well. But interesting. But it is interesting to see like that. Like Ashley, she can see Megan winning too, actually. So, yeah. But I just feel like it's Tony. And with the men's stuff that we're about to get into at the top of the card, like, you know, we've said the Death Rider stuff is pretty bad right now. And Tony's been kind of like the MVP, I think, even if you're not totally into the Timeless character. She's come off as one of the biggest stars in the company right now when the men's the men's side of things with the Death Riders is kind of dragging it down a little bit. But yeah. All right, let's go on to our main event. Jon Moxley versus Swerve Strickland for the AEW World Championship. We've talked a bit about the Death Riders. We'll talk some more about them and their leader. I'm so sick of this, honestly. You know, when it started, I was very hyped for this, just because it seemed like they were really trying to do something here, and I just thought it fizzled out with many different, you know, mistakes along the line. And I wasn't a fan of any of the cope stuff last time. As I've said, I want Swerve to win so much, because Swerve to me was such a great champion. Swerve or Hangman is who I'd have as my champion. I thought it was awesome at the last show when he did the stomp on Moxley. That was so cool. I really, really want him to win. I think him winning and the Death Rider stuff, like if they lose the Trios title, maybe those guys just slinking away for quite a long time would be very nice to see an AEW where you've got like Swerve on top, you've got Hangman. And I think I talked about this during the last preview that I did, but I do feel like things weren't that great for AEW in the past couple of, well, quite a while, really. And I think stuff has improved so much. You've got Kenny back. MJF, I think, is back to his best. You have Swerve. You have Hangman. You have Will Ospreay that's always holding it down. The women, you know, Tony and Mariah, we just finished that. They were great. And right now, I just feel like the only kind of glaring issue for me is the Death Riders, is Jon Moxley. And but unfortunately, that guy's your world champion. He's the main event. He's the guy that the whole show is meant to be built around. And he's the one that when he comes out, I'm like, okay, yeah. So that's how I feel. But I'm going to go with my head over my heart and say that I think Jon Moxley's going to win. I know there's been a lot of talk about who is meant to be the person that that takes the title from Moxley, a lot of people putting it on Darby. That is not someone I would wait around for. I would go back to the days of Swerve, absolutely. But how do you feel about all this, Astrid?
I mean, we mentioned it earlier with everything with the Death Riders. It just because we don't see the championship, I kind of at the same time forget that Mox is the champion. If that makes sense. It's like, and that's it shouldn't be that way.
No, it's like he has this idea that, oh, it'd be so cool if this, you know, bad guy's walking around with the briefcase and won't show the championship. But now you've gone so long without having your championship like prominently displayed on TV that it just takes away from things even more. Like, I don't like that aspect either.
Yeah, it just feels like it loses the presentation of him being champion, because I hear you that you're champion, but I just don't see it because I don't see the title with you. And like you said, for me, I keep thinking Swerve will be the answer for something like this, and then having hold the championship up until he faces Hangman, probably at All In, and have Hangman win the championship again at that pay-per-view. And based on the way we've seen it, you can tell they're going to revisit this sometime soon. And I feel like this is, for me, the best way to do it, just because you take the Death Riders off a little bit more off TV, get, you know, have them lose a little bit of that focus and maybe take that time to like really kind of look at the storyline and see what is going on with it and what could changes could be made at the same time. And I feel like they need kind of like that break to like go back to the drawing board and figure something out for this storyline moving forward. And I think the best way to do that will be to have Swerve as champion for the moment as they figure out what they're going to do with the Death Riders, and then have Hangman come in here and win the championship later on. And I think it's the best way you can think about, because at this point, I don't want to say I haven't seen, but I just think I've rarely seen anybody really happy with the Death Rider storyline. So yeah. I think it's just a moment that you really need to like really brainstorm and look at what's going on and why are people not clicking with it the way they should have been.
Yeah. I wonder that they're like, my kind of theory on it all is like, one, it's like this big idea by Moxley that Tony has let him do because Moxley was very unhappy before this. So he's let him act out this, you know, storyline, which I think is kind of, you know, funny. I think a lot of the kind of stuff that Moxley says, he does kind of believe in about the direction of AEW, the previous direction of it and stuff like this, and getting back to what it should be about. I think he believes in a lot of that. But he also, I think, presented a storyline where the answer was himself, you know, like the cure is me. Mm-hmm. And based on, I think, him not being very happy before this, I think that Tony said, yeah, okay, you can do this. And I think we're at the point now where he's just keeping him happy by letting him continue. I thought the match with Edge was really bad. And obviously they got to have a go over. And then on Dynamite, like 2 weeks later. But to me, that was a really bad match on a pay-per-view that should have been headlined by women, because everything was set up for it to be headlined by women. Like, we had to have the movie, the Queen of the Ring movie, like four stars and all of this, to not even have the women like in the main event when they had the proper storyline, and instead having Mox and Cope like literally falling over each other. It was just not good at all. But I think that they're determined to see this through. And I think, unfortunately, the heat has just become that people don't like them rather than them doing any great or shocking, you know, heel actions that you can actually believe in. It's just become like, yeah, we don't like these guys, so we'll boo them. And I think the best, well, I think AEW needs to stop constantly like saying that they're resetting and stuff, because that just doesn't make it look good that you have to keep doing that. But I think the best reset you could do is go back to Swerve and Hangman being your like top guys. And now you have the addition of Ospreay also being a top guy. Kenny Omega's back, MJF. I would much rather see these people than the Death Rider stuff, which I just cannot be arsed with anymore. It's boring and it's so self-indulgent, and it's made me just not only want the storyline to end, but want a break from Moxley too, because it's just been so much. And as Maria says, yes, Tony, that's the other thing. It was called the Hollywood ending match. That's like, why not put that on last? And I think not to like put it all on Tony or people's ideas of Tony, and I'm not, you know, calling him, I'm not saying he's subservient to his wrestlers or anything like that, but I do think that he's maybe indulging Moxley a little bit too much, where if you're being honest and you're out there and you're listening to the crowds and you're actually looking at what the fan base are saying, you know, the fan base aren't saying like AEW is shit at the minute or terrible. They're not saying that. They're saying like AEW has so many more people we'd like to see in the top position that Moxley's in, and you could so easily hand this over to Swerve and it would be really good, and Swerve can make a good feud, you know, with anyone. Also, I do think that Swerve and Moxley, like this hasn't been a bad feud, especially by the Death Riders standards, but I don't think they've had enough weeks for it to play out as well. I think it maybe needed to cook for like another week or two or something like that. But as Bruce said, like this pay-per-view has come around pretty quickly too. But I'm going to say, just because I don't have the faith, I'm going to say that Moxley wins. And yeah. I think the coolest thing you could do is like Swerve wins, and then at All In they have a Texas death match, like him and Hangman for the title or something like that in Texas. That would be so cool. But maybe they'll do that as like an undercard match or something, and we'll sell Moxie as champion. But yeah, Maria says Tony is doing the same thing with Moxie that he did with CM Punk. Well, you said it, not me. That's all I'll say. You said it, not me. But yeah, do you think it's going to be Moxie still then?
No, I'm definitely sticking with Swerve. I would like to see, like, they kind of like had them hit that reset button somehow and kind of help in a way diminish a little bit of the presence of the Death Riders on screen. And I feel like this is one of the ways you can do it. It just, at this point, I lost interest in the storyline. And this just shows that not everybody that pitches the storyline should be able to like execute it when you don't have like the answer for it. And especially where, like you say, if they are waiting for Darby, then you're giving us a storyline that you don't know if the ending is even going to happen to begin with, because he's going to climb a mountain and we don't know if he's going to even survive it, to be honest. I'm like, we hope he does. But at the same time, you have a storyline that doesn't have an ending planned out and it's uncertainty like behind it. And I feel like you can't start a storyline when you don't know how it's going to be ending. You need to plan that out in such a way, because if not, it just makes you have all these like fillers in the between here until we get to that part with Darby, if it does were to happen. And I'm like, if it doesn't happen, then what happens then? It's like, now you're going to be like scrambling to find something to cover that ending, because Darby wouldn't be able to do it. And I feel like you shouldn't be having a storyline planned out that way. You need to have, when you were to pitch it from beginning to end, and like, if it would have been like, let's say with Swerve instead of Darby, then it would be like, okay, it's going to start with us and it's going to end with Darby and with Swerve. And that would have been fine. And I feel like that will give you more of a way to plan out like in between weeks, rather than just all this filler. Like, you can tell they're holding off for Darby, but at the same time, it's not worth it because we don't know what's going to happen with Darby. And at this point, like you said, it's like, you have somebody like Swerve for, they, you know, he's been champion. They know how he was as champion. Go back to that for the moment and then go with him and Hangman later on, because at least you have that concrete and they have such a great story already as it is. And going back to it, I feel like it doesn't hurt them either way, because they make it interesting every single time they face each other. And I feel like in a way that's a safe route to go with.
And Swerve has just so much energy as a character. Like, we have Moxley walking around looking glum with his briefcase, and I just think we'd all feel a lot happier if, you know, we had Swerve's theme tune playing and Prince Nana and he was holding the belt. I think that would just make us feel a lot better about everything. Just the visual and the audio of that is like so much better than this bloody Death Riders thing. Maria says, okay, how likely do you think this is? Daniel Bryan will make a surprise return and get revenge on Moxie by costing him the title. I would say maybe I would give that like a 40% chance of happening. I think if Bryan returns, I don't see him like wrestling again. But if he was the one that, you know, costs Moxie the title, that would be fitting after what Moxie did to him. I just wouldn't want him to then go back to, like, you know, proper wrestling and then he ends up being the one that takes the title off him, because that just feels like a really long, pointless circle that we went in. But I would say 40% chance. What do you think about that?
I do like the idea of Bryan costing him the championship and maybe helping Swerve win, because I'm thinking, like you said, the fact that I don't see Daniel Bryan returning to wrestle, and that's the only thing that, and I feel like that will kind of, in a way, close that chapter for Bryan in the end. And just thinking of, he got that revenge on Moxie after what he did to him, which we didn't get to have before. And why not, by kind of having him like lose the one thing that's like the main focus of him right now, which is the championship, of him being champion, even though we don't see the championship. And that's why one of the reasons why I want Swerve to be champion, because I feel like he's one that shows up that title really well, and we don't have to see it being hit into the briefcase every single time. And like I said, it just makes me feel like Moxie is champion without being champion at the same time, just because I kind of forget about it, knowing that I don't see it.
Swerve shows off the title well, and he's a really good ambassador for the company. He seems really invested in making a name for himself in the wider world. And he would just be such a good, like, you know, mascot even for AEW, like out in the world as the champion. Like, it, I mean, just seeing him with the belt at a baseball game or something would just feel a lot better than, you know, it, what we're currently, you know, having with Moxley. That's just, it's just glumness. But the rest of the stuff in AEW is really good. So it's hard. Maybe Tony should just, I don't know, just tell John once, no for once, would be my advice. Just, you know, mm-hmm. because when you don't tell guys no, things can end up going pretty wrong. I think we've seen that before.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
All right, everyone. We've done it. AEW Dynasty / Dynasty. Thank you so much for joining me, Astrid. I really enjoyed it. And please tell everyone where they can find you.
You can find me, as the account was there earlier, at Local Establishment. I'm usually there on Tuesdays with my tag team partner, Ed, discussing NXT on Taking Over. We're going to have a lot of fun with Send Deliver coming up pretty soon, so really excited for that. Other than that, you can find me on Twitter and on Blue Sky, as it is there, Astrid Pizarro, and my YouTube channel as well. And my Instagram and Threads will be Astrid Pizarro 20.
Awesome. Everyone, go give Astrid a follow. You can not find me anywhere. No, you can find me on X at Stephanie M. Chase. I don't really use it. You can find me on Blue Sky. Same name. Don't use that either. Find me on Substack more at Stephanie Chase. Find me on YouTube at Stephanie Chase. And yeah, I will see you guys next time for WrestleMania. And hopefully I will let you guys know who I've got as guests for that. I've got some big names in mind. So I'm going to see what I can pull out for Mania. But thank you all for joining me. It's been so nice to talk to some of you in the chat that I haven't talked to in a while. But once again, thank you so much, Astrid. Everyone go follow. And yeah, I will see you next time. Bye.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.